Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast. This is the 8th of July. We are in verse 7 of the 13th chapter of 2 Corinthians. Verse 7 is the midway point of the final chapter of this journey through 2 Corinthians. I was going to say something about this yesterday, and I kept sort of going on about things in that 5th and 6th verse. This maybe is a good time to say it, and that is how influenced I have been going through 1st and 2nd Corinthians, particularly 2nd Corinthians, verse by verse, taking my time and just working the context, how influenced I have been this time more than ever, because I've done this before, but more than ever on the humanity of Paul, the issues that sort of Paul is struggling with, but, and this is the biggie, and this is what I wanted to get into a little bit yesterday, is how much Paul instructs and does so in a way that I've been for a dozen years now or more, good probably Baker's dozen years, ministering what many in the church call the message of grace. I'm not a real labels guy because pigeonholes you a little bit and associates you sometimes with things you don't want to be associated with, but neither here nor there. It's a way of identifying it. And what I've noticed is a reluctance to point out anything, a reluctance to give real good fatherly discipleship instruction and chastisement out of fear that we will create some form of condemnation. And I think some of that is misguided. I think some of that is a misunderstanding. And I talked about this with you a few days ago, the difference between condemnation and feeling bad, which are not necessarily the same thing. They can be, but not necessarily. And it just struck me that it would do us all good to go verse by verse through the books of the New Testament and force ourselves to wrestle with verses we're not comfortable with. Because what has happened to me in the past, and I'm very susceptible to it happening to me now, I'm aware of this, is that it's easy to get in a habit of dwelling on and living in certain passages because I love them, and they're speaking to me in a season, and that's fine, and staying there, and staying there out of this idea that it's good and it's life-giving, so why go anywhere else? And while I get that, and I don't disagree with that on the face, I do think if we don't push ourselves into deeper water and we don't get into some scriptures that we're not entirely comfortable with and don't have our decisions made on them, then we'll never wrestle. And if we stop wrestling, and that is a bold statement, but this is where I am in this. If we stop wrestling, then we cease to have the chief characteristics of the people of God. Because Israel is he who contends with God. To be a part of the Israel of God, which the New Testament classifies as faith in Christ makes us the seed of Abraham, we still hold true to that original idea that we are a people who contend with big ideas. We wrestle out big thoughts. But if we're not exploring scriptures we're not entirely comfortable with, then we're not going to wrestle out big thoughts. And we're not going to challenge old beliefs. And if we stay away from those things out of fear that we're drifting away from the message of grace or the message of the finished work, then we need to ask ourselves, what was Paul, Peter, John, those guys, what were they doing? Why were they writing about this stuff? Were they drifting away from the message of grace? And I think you'll realize quickly that that's a silly premise. They weren't drifting away from anything. Therefore, maybe what we need is to simply change our thinking, repent again, that things are supposed to fit into a certain theological box, some sort of category. And that because if we don't get out of that way of thinking, then we might miss out on some very important things. I might miss out on the fact that Paul challenges the Corinthian people to embrace godly sorrow or to examine themselves in the faith or to repent of A, B, and C. That's from chapter 12. These are things you and I have covered in this journey that are uncomfortable if you stay in this mode of, I'm only going to talk about favor and grace. I think maybe what we've done is we've degenerated those terms down into two or three verses rather than realizing that they're the permeative whole of the Christian message. You can't parse them out and then preach them as if they're topical. If grace is a person and that person is Jesus, then we must examine everything about who he is. And that's a deep, those are deep, deep waters. That brings us to that seventh verse. That was just some stuff I wanted to throw in yesterday. So let's start the thought process with seven today. And of course, I won't finish, but it gets me going and gets us ready for tomorrow. Verse seven says, now I pray to God. The pronoun I there is really collective. It's a plural pronoun in the Greek. So it's really, we pray to God that you do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that you should do what is honorable, though we may seem disqualified. It tells us, the very nature of the prayer tells us that believers can do evil. Otherwise, Paul wouldn't pray that this group doesn't do evil. It also, he's not praying for a bunch of sinners. He's praying for believers, the same believers who he hopes have repented of their uncleanness, fornication, and lewdness that they practiced at the end of chapter 12, that he hopes have been examining themselves to see if they're in the faith in verse 5, and that now he hopes would not do evil. And, you know, I don't know any person that's ever went into ministry in any era and that doesn't pray this for the people that they're in charge, that who are under their charge. Because leaders, is the word I'm looking for. According to Hebrews 13, leaders are those who have taken up the responsibility of soul care. We're supposed to be caring for the souls that have been placed in our charge. It's hard to say who's been placed in our charge. It's really the people who associate themselves with who we are and with what we do. And so some of you would be considered in our charge. I don't own your soul, but you've placed yourself into our care for us to help you and to help you grow. And therefore, I don't want to see you do evil. And I don't know of a leader that would ever pray any other prayer. The fact that we pray that prayer means that, yes, there's potential for believers to do evil. And we don't have to get into the theological argument of sin nature to figure out if evil's possible. If everybody realizes that they can do evil. So it's not, again, it's not an indictment on the message of grace and favor to hope that people don't do evil. It's simply soul care. Now, there's some things to say about honor that I want to say, but they really need their own podcast, and we'll work on that tomorrow. So I'll see you then. God bless.